Well, good afternoon, and thanks, Alex, for the introduction. Today I'd like to briefly, within 20 minutes, talk to you about some of the issues I've come across in looking at public-private partnerships in my capacity as Auditor General. For those of you who aren't aware of my role in any detail, and I shan't go into a great detail, but the Audit Office of New South Wales reviews all government agencies' annual financial reports. We also review selected areas of government performance. And as part of this role, we've reviewed a number of public-private partnerships over the years. We also have a role in reviewing the contract summaries, the accuracy and completeness of the contract summaries that ministers are required to prepare and publicly release after entering into a PPP contract. I'd also like to make the point that neither I nor the Audit Office comes from any ideological standpoint in terms of PPPs or PFPs. It's in the nature of auditors and audit officers to generally concentrate more on the negative aspects of issues rather than the positive aspects. It's part of the game. But criticisms of particular PPPs that I or other auditors general may make certainly shouldn't be seen as implying an ideological viewpoint for or against PPPs. I guess there's three simple messages I'd like to get across to you in the next 20 minutes or so. In doing so, I've noted that the majority of you today are from the private sector, and so I'll structure my comments accordingly. The first message is that just as the government needs to better understand the private sector, private sector PPP proponents need to better understand government and the political and accountability frameworks in which it operates. Secondly, public and political views on the acceptability of PPPs can change swiftly. If PPPs are an attractive business opportunity for the private sector, that golden goose can easily be killed off by one or more ill-conceived, poorly managed projects. A private sector seen to be unfairly exploiting the public purse may risk PPPs being taken off the government agenda for many years. And the final part of the message is that ad hoc projects that aren't based on a strategic plan or infrastructure plan of the government or its agencies will largely be seen as opportunistic. Whatever their benefits, they may not be those that the community wants or accepts as part of a well-thought-out planning project. My first point was that the private sector needs to better understand government. When you and the private sector sign a contract with another company, the details are largely confidential between your two organisations. You both operate in the same legal framework, broadly the same governance framework, and the same commercial mindset. In dealing with the public sector, you may sign a contract with a particular minister or agency on behalf of the government and believe that they and you are the only real parties involved. You need to understand that executive government operates within a parliamentary framework. It is subservient to Parliament. I don't know that government always accepts that, but believe me, they are. And Parliament retains the ultimate power to demand contract details. Individual members of Parliament can also make life difficult for the government or a private sector proponent. And, of course, governments can change, or perhaps I should say, and reinvent themselves. But certainly if government does change, you may find yourself in partnership with the government that was previously an opposition, highly critical of the deal that you're a partner to. When government and the private sector contract to provide services, the public will judge the performance of both the government and its private sector partners. The public expects all partners to be open about their activities and to act with the public interest in mind. Now, that may be an unreasonable expectation. You, of course, operate with the views of your shareholders in mind, which may be a different set of interests than the public interest, but I don't know that the public accepts that. The public expects that business dealings between the government and the private sector will be ultimately to the public benefit. That doesn't exclude commercial benefit, but public benefit is very much, I think, to the forefront of the public thinking. Keeping PPP details secret or claiming commercial in confidence reasons to hide large sections of contracts will only make the public, the media and Parliament suspicious. My experience over the years is that the vast majority of information that is claimed as confidential, whether for commercial or other reasons, and whether by the government or the private sector party, the vast majority ultimately ends up being released, either through parliamentary processes or as a result of public or media pressure. You also need to understand that when you're acting in partnership with the public sector, you come to the attention of various watchdog agencies, such as my office, ICAC, and the Ombudsman. We are independent agencies, and in my case, I'm accountable to Parliament, not executive government. I report to Parliament, not to a minister or to the government of the day. While we may not have the powers to review private sector organisations, we can and do review the agencies you're involved with and the contracts they have with you to provide services. Some of the recent audits of PPPs that my office has been involved in and reported to Parliament on are the Millennium Train, the Northside Tunnel Project, and the New Schools Privately Funded Project, and shortly I'll be reporting our performance audit of the Cross City Tunnel, or certain aspects of it. So the message is clear. Once you enter into contracts with the government, you're entering the accountability frameworks of government. So understand them, appreciate the impacts they can potentially have on the success of projects you're partnering with government. Now, probably a recent example where transparency and accountability were not handled that well is the Cross City Tunnel, where it seems that neither party fully appreciated the public expectation for disclosure and a release of information. And ultimately, it was only a demand in the by the Legislative Council and the recommendation by Sir Lawrence Street that the release of the the contracts for that deal were released. Now, this project continues, or has and continues to be, a public relations problem for the government and for its private sector partners. And while there are other factors that may be contributing to the tunnel's current problems, some may have been avoided or limited if the partners had perhaps been more open at the outset. As I mentioned in my introduction, public and political views on the acceptability of PPPs can change swiftly. The public, and possibly the political mood, has certainly turned against PPPs in this state as a result of the Cross City Tunnel. Well-founded or not, the public view is that PPPs are a licence for the private sector to print money, despite the story on page one of today's Financial Review. In earlier PPPs, I suspect there was a degree of exploitation of the public sector's relative naivety or lack of experience in dealing with risk allocation and pricing. Some of the significant profits that ensued on some projects have contributed to the public perception or the public suspicion of the value of these deals to them, to the public, and possibly to the initial suspicion of the incoming state Labor government a decade or so ago. So the second part of the message to you is this: by all means, see PPPs as a commercially attractive part of your business, but don't unfairly exploit the advantage you may have in designing these deals. If the public views you as ripping them off, put it in the vernacular, you may find they disappear completely as an opportunity in the future. What else can the private sector do to support their ongoing involvement with the provision of public services? Now, fundamentally, when you enter into a contract, a PPP contract with government, you're involved in providing public services, in most cases fairly directly to the public. And the success of any public service depends very much on community involvement. Once you've entered into a PPP, you lose the ability you may normally have to choose who your clients are. In PPPs, they become much wider. They may become, in fact, the entire public if they take a view on the probity or appropriateness of a particular arrangement. Don't expect the government and its agencies to handle all these issues, but partner with them at the beginning, middle and end. Start early on in the contract negotiation stages. Get to understand better what the community's views may be, what their interests are, what disadvantages there may be to the community or particular sections of the community for a PPP. Develop a risk profile on this. And just as important is managing the relationships between the various partners of a project, something I'm sure most of you appreciate, irrespective of whether it is the private or public sector. A good example of a PPP where the relationship between partners was handled well was the North Side Storage Tunnel. This was a strategic alliance between Sydney Water and a number of private sector firms, I think there are at least three, to construct a tunnel to collect sewage outflow in wet weather and store it in the tunnel until treated by the North Head Sewerage Plant. Our 2003 review of the storage tunnel project found that despite many constraints and technical difficulties, the tunnel alliance in the main worked well. This was largely due to the constructive relationship between the various parties and how the alliance was set up. For example, risk-reward arrangements were set up to pool responsibility, encourage innovation and promote cooperation. Financial rewards were linked to achieving community, environment and safety objectives. Sydney Water and its partners shared cost overruns and savings. They also resolved in a cooperative manner any unpredicted severe construction problems, whereas in more conventional contracts, such disputes would almost invariably end up in the court or at least the threat of legal action. I briefly outlined the importance of being open and accountable, of understanding government and how it works, and not leaving government to handle and deal with all the community expectations. In fact, despite having signed the deal, a government may leave you to handle adverse public opinion, so be involved and understand the community expectations and be prepared. The other point that I mentioned in my introduction was that PPP should be part of a broader strategy, an infrastructure plan of the government or of its agencies. Lobbying for or being involved in projects that are not part of a broader government policy will be seen as opportunistic. If you are involved or want to be involved in a PPP, understand what its purpose is in a broader sense. For example, a road project is not just a piece of engineering infrastructure. It's part of a broader transport plan, which may be part of a broader metropolitan plan, for example, having impacts on other policy agendas such as the environment. Be wary of projects where the objective or outcome is not clear. Be wary of projects that change markedly in nature before or during the approval process or negotiation process. Quite often where those changes do occur, there may be adverse consequences down the track, and the public may well hold you partly to blame for any of those consequences. The Cross City Tunnel was not simply about building a faster route for motorists. Its original and real objective was to get motorists off surface streets, particularly the CBD itself, and to create a better urban environment. The tunnel was the carrot, albeit it's become a rather expensive one. The stick was the road closures and restrictions. But after the project was first mooted, the tunnel component changed substantially. It was lengthened, its entrance and exit points changed, it became more expensive. The focus became the tunnel itself, the engineering bit of the infrastructure, rather than the broader government objective of creating a better urban environment and solving the traffic problems on the CBD streets. So it's not surprising that the public lost sight of what the project was originally intended to achieve, and their attention and anger, I guess, switched to what the more visible component was, the tunnel itself. In concluding, I'd like to emphasise, be open and transparent, act with integrity, which I hope you'll do anyway, but understand community needs and the broader objectives of government policy and how PPPs fit in with those and who is best placed to accept the risk. In the end, all these aspects will determine how well a public service is provided and the extent and continued involvement of the private sector in the provision of public services. Thank you.